Before Revelation there, Jude, only one chapter. Didn't really intend to just keep going on, but it just seemed to work out that way. Right there in the Bible. I don't mind combing through the whole thing. You know, I believe it's all good for me. You know, some people only like this or that, and I like it all. I just eat it all up. Thank you, Lord. Before I forget, next Wednesday, or this coming Wednesday, sorry, Brother Alexander will be here ministering for us. But he's getting a little bit of mission report. He's still going to be preaching for us on Wednesday. So come expect a great thing. Amen. Jude, start at verse 1. Excuse me. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. There are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, which is a license to sin, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 14. Let me turn there real quick. I'll just read a few verses here. And we'll have you be seated. Acts chapter 14, verse 21. There's something about pages in the Bible turning. It just thrills my heart. I don't know. Good. Acts 14, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Right. I'd like to just ask a question. It might seem a little offhand, but I believe the Lord will bring us all together. What did we expect? What did we expect? Bow our heads for a moment, each one. If you have a need you'd like to lift up, nobody looking around before the Lord as we approach His Word. God bless you, each one. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for gathering us together and giving us a desire in our hearts to serve you, Lord, knowing that you said, no man can come to me except the Father draws him first. We're so appreciative of what you've done, the grace and mercy you've shown to us, Father. And I pray, Lord, as we gather together in your name, that your name wouldn't just stay on pages, Lord, but it could come off and manifest to us once again that this is the one true living God. If there's a soul here that needs saved, may they be saved by the preaching of the word today. If there's someone here sick in body, I pray that the word would come and heal that person. If there's any soul here discouraged or empty, oh God, may there come power from on high, and may they be filled full of joy and peace and love. Grant today, we pray. We're happy that whatever we ask, Lord, we know you'll give it to us, for you promised to. Amen. Commit it to you now. In Jesus Christ's name we ask.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, being message believers, we hear a lot of things that unfortunately become, I like to call, catchphrases. You know, we get little expressions that we all become very familiar with, And too many times I believe that that's all they end up as. We don't get to the reality of what's being said. It just becomes a nice thing. It tickles our ears maybe, or we feel good about it. And I think one of those things is expectations. Now, there's absolute truth to that. You'll get whatever you expect. That's the same in life. That's the same in your job. That's the same no matter where you are. And it's the same with the gospel. Whatever you expect is what you'll get. And if you came to service today expecting to just leave the same way you always were, you will leave the same way you always were. If you came here expecting, well, I've been sick for this long, I'm going to stay sick this long, well, then that's the way you'll leave. But if you come here with an expectation that whatever God said is true, yes, and He said I could ask whatever I desire and I'll receive it, then you'll leave with that today.
Amen.
That's right. But there's a whole spectrum of expectation that I think gets misconstrued, because a lot of times Christians don't know what to expect.
Right.
They said, yeah, I believe in heaven expectations, but what am I to expect? Well, the easy answer to that is the Word of God.
Amen.
Whatever the Word said, you expect it to happen.
Yes.
It will. And it,
right.
Now, we think, well, unbelief, you know, might get in the way. No, no, no. The unbelief doesn't get in the way of God. It just might get in your way. God's plan will keep rolling on. Don't tell me the devil won a victory on Christ. He ain't never won one time. I don't care how much he made it about. Black light shined anyways. And I'm glad he did that for me, that when I walked all the way to darkness, a light was still able to come out there, shine, and pull me back to glorious life. Amen. Well, what did we expect? And I want to say that to the Christian. What did you expect when you came to this message? And I think all of us are starting to evaluate maybe what we thought about this before today. A lot of times we'll hear things, the bride's revival's here. And we'll get this expectation of what that's going to look like. And most times, what does it look like? Nobody's got any troubles with sin. Nobody has to worry about the devil no more. We just all joy and happy all the time. Don't never have no trials. Don't have any temptation. We just all walk around on clouds because we're just the bride's revival and there's nothing the devil can do about it. Look how quiet it got in this room real quick. I hope that ain't what your picture is, because that's not what the Bible said. That's not what the prophet said. That's not what the word has ever done in any age. Every time light has shined, darkness has been right behind to try to get it to stop. That's right. And that will never change until we get rid of that old devil and throw him in the lake of fire and he burns up. Then it's over. That's right, Christian friend. You know your rest right now is only spiritual. You need to understand that. But you can use that and bring all the rest in subjection to that, because you are the soul. That is what you are. You have a spirit, sure, but you are the soul. That's what God, he is. That's his very essence, was that seed that now is transferred into us. That's who you are. We live in a body. That's fine. But that's not who I am. Just as much as me getting in that car doesn't make me a car. I'm just driving it. Just as much as me living in my house doesn't mean I'm a house. That's just where I live. I might look mortal to you. I might look like I'm getting defeated. But no, sir. There's someone in me that's already with the devil every time. So what do we expect? Have we painted a rosy garden?
Sure.
Oh my, when I really get the Holy Ghost, this is what it's going to look like. Yeah. No, no, no. Here's what it looks like. It's what the Bible has already declared, what the Brother Branham told us, that Ephesians parallels Joshua.
Amen.
Absolutely. What it was in the natural in the book of Joshua is what it is in the spiritual at the end time.
Amen.
And last I checked in the book of Joshua, it wasn't just laying around peaceful all the time. Not until the battle was over.
Right.
Well, what was it? What was the expectation? That's the problem. They sent 12 spies over. How many knows the story?
Yeah.
They sent 12 spies over to go check out the land that Moses already told them, already said all the way back in Abraham 400-something years ago, that they were going to possess this land, and it was time. They could feel it. They believed it.
Yeah. Right.
But they painted an expectation that God never told them.
Right.
That's right.
And that's where they missed it. They had this expectation that, well, if God said he gave us the land, it must just be ours, and we'll just walk in there, and there's nothing to worry about. We'll just have vineyards and stuff, and it'll all be great. House is already built. God gave it to us. That's not how it worked. God did give it to them. That's right. But there were some giants in the way. But he gave them enough faith that it wouldn't matter, because he already gave it to them, because the giants couldn't get in their way if they believed the word.
Amen.
God, he didn't bait and switch them. He told them the truth. That land's yours. Go walk.
Yeah.
Footsteps is possession. He didn't say just his possession. You got to walk first.
Yeah.
You got to go across. And that's the first part. You got to recognize that when you get the Holy Ghost, and I mean really get it,
right,
you are now in battle.
Amen. That's right.
You might have thought you were fighting back here with, you know, Jericho and Ai and some of those other kings, but that's where God pretty much just took care of the whole thing all by himself. And that, they walked around and walls fall down.
Right.
They come in, you know, but when they crossed, this was now a joint affair.
Yes, sir.
I've given you land, but you'll fight for every inch of it.
Right.
But you can't be defeated as long as you'll believe me.
Amen.
That's exactly how it worked, and it's the same today. The message has come, and when you receive it, and you receive the Holy Ghost, don't equate that now. You can intellectually receive that. I'm not talking about that. I mean the message. Jesus Christ comes into you. You've now crossed Jordan.
Amen.
Not time to put the sword down. It's time to buckle it up a little, buckle your armor on a little tighter, because it's going to get a little rocky soon.
Amen.
A lot of people have that expectation when they get baptized. All this will settle it. Everything will be fine now. Woo! You don't know what you just did.
Right.
You might as well just put a big old X and say, come get me, devil.
Yeah.
That's why we need a revelation that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That me receiving the Holy Ghost, I know I'm going to fight, but he's already a defeated enemy. I'm not afraid of the devil. I pray you ain't. I've heard people talk that way. I wish the devil would leave me alone. What are you talking about? I put him under my feet every day.
Amen.
He's a squatter. That I can go brag on Goliath. I'll be like David and said, who is this that defies the armies of the living God?
Yes.
I don't care if he's 10 feet tall and got a spear twice my height. I'll take him out.
Right.
Sure.
What do you got, David? F-A-I-T-H. That's it, David? That's what, yes, sir. They tried to give him some of that armor, didn't they? Some of that ecclesiastical, some of that expectation of what this battle was going to look like, that David was really going to have to struggle through. See, that's what, if you can get over the hump, you'll realize the devil's just as coward as anyone.
Yeah.
He's the biggest wimp there ever was. You talk about somebody that bluffs, he's the number one chief captain of that.
Right.
You think of the man that you've met that was just all blow up, you know what I mean? The guy that just acted like he owned the world, but you knew if you pushed back a little bit, he'd cower in the corner. Where did they get that from?
Right.
The devil. Goliath was out there making his boast, showing the power that he had. David had nothing but what he had experienced by faith.
Amen.
Now, he didn't just walk out there blind. He said, hey, I was one day out there doing my job.
Yep.
That's what we need to really get. He was out there herding sheep, you know, was out there praying for the service.
Yep.
He was out there thinking about the saints. You hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, no. We think David, he was out there preaching away and just a mighty missionary. No, sir. He was out back in the middle of nowhere where nobody knew nothing about him to when the prophet showed up. His name didn't even come up until
that's
it was last resort.
Right.
But he was faithful in little.
Amen.
And God watched his character. And when he was out there, one sheep got caught. One.
Amen.
Who knows how many there was? There could have been thousands for all we know. One was caught by a lion. It says a lion and a bear. I don't know the whole story, but you all know the story that he went out there and slew a lion. With what? Faith. God commissioned me to watch over all these sheep.
Right.
Not all but one. All of them. Now, if we would have used our reasoning, our expectation, well, you know, of course we lose a few sheep here and there. That's just the way it goes. That's a man expectation.
Yeah.
But David wasn't looking like that. He looked the way God does, that I know this God, that he's perfect. So if he gave me this many, this is how many I'm supposed to have.
That's
and he watched one get caught by a lion. He said, no, sir. Went out there with that, probably that same sling he was used to using, whacked him right in the head, and cut his throat off.
Right.
That's right. Did the same thing with a bear. Remember, David wasn't no mighty, big, huge man like we think of, or it wouldn't have been such a miracle for him to whip Goliath. The point it was, he probably didn't even fit in Goliath's shadow. But he had no problems, took both those out, and then when he saw Goliath, he said, what's the difference? What's the difference? I'm still commissioned as an Israelite to wipe out Philistines. I don't care how tall he is, but I'm going to use the same thing I've always done. That's the problem. We need to get an experience first.
Yes.
We all want to just speak things into existence and ain't got faith for a toothache.
Right.
Start with something you actually can put your faith in and let God multiply that.
Amen.
Be faithful in little and you watch God move in much.
Amen.
That's right. He said, all you need is a mustard seed of faith, and you can wipe out, you can take that mountain and throw it in the ocean.
Right.
That's right. How much easier would it be for David to grab a stone and hit a giant in the head? That's right.
Amen.
See, this ain't a man-sized job. This is a God-sized job.
Amen.
So there's only one God, or one person can be able to do this, and that's God.
Right.
That's my expectation. But everything's coming against this. So let's bring it back home a little bit. James was telling him to contend for the faith.
Yes.
And most people think that that means go have some doctrinal battle with everybody that comes against what you believe. Go show them where a Trinity's wrong for the 20th time. Go show them how to get baptized the right way. Go show them these promises of God. When they already rejected you how many times, that's not what it was talking about.
Right.
He said, go confirm. Go earnestly contend for the faith. And what did Paul come around and say about the faith? He says, he confirmed the soul of tongues to contend for the faith, and that we, by much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God.
Right.
How do you contend for the faith? You've got to know what battle to expect,
yes,
or you won't know how to stand for it.
Right.
What's the battle to expect is the greatest battle ever fought. The battle that's going on right now in every single mind that's here right now. You don't think the devil comes to church? He's more faithful than most Christians. Why? He shakes in his boots when somebody begins to believe. Why? Because he knows, I can't really beat this man. I can't beat this one. I've seen this before in a man called Jesus, and I couldn't beat it. Remember, the devil's only got one tactic. One. Everything else stems from that. Get you to disbelieve the word and to put the sword down.
That's exactly right.
And actually, you know what he really ends up doing? He gets you to twist it around and take yourself out.
Right.
I know God gave me the Holy Ghost, but you must not have known I was going to make this mistake. Guess I'm serpent seed. His predestination only lasted till today. Then it fell apart, and now I guess I ain't going to make it no more. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you're sealed in. If you don't, it's time to get it. And it's a free gift, and you can receive it right now if you'll just believe the word. That God said it. I'm receiving it for myself. You can't do this. God has brought you here today to receive the Holy Ghost. If you don't have it, and if you do, and you're running empty, I think you can tell it most times because there ain't no joy nowhere. That's where you know that we're not whipping Philistines, because we're all just, this battle's just getting tough. You think David acted that way when he whipped Goliath?
What?
You know what happened? They all got brave all of a sudden. That faith began to roll off of him a little bit. His cup was running over. It was filling up other cups.
Amen.
That's right. It's a shame. We all should just be running over. But sometimes that's what needs to happen.
Amen.
Needs to be a time you can say something about the word and people got excited.
Right. That's right.
Why? Because they actually applied it and it happened.
Yes.
Amen.
See, we're talking about expectation, real expectation. When you come against the devil, you are then contending for the faith at that point. And you are standing for what is right. And the only way to prove it is for opposition to come and for this to rise up and defeat it.
Amen.
If there was no Goliath, how could David ever prove he was a mighty man of valor?
Right.
If there was never a battle for Gideon to go fight, how could he ever prove what the angel had told him? That you're a mighty man of valor.
Yes.
And God has said, I will have a bride without spot or wrinkle. I will bring them on white horses behind me, and they'll wipe out this out.
Amen.
And how else can it prove that if there's no devil coming after it?
Right.
Oh, poor Mr. Devil, can you please give me a good night's sleep? Devil ain't going to give you no good night's sleep. Only God can give you good night's sleep.
Right. Amen.
Oh, Mr. Devil, can you stop making me sick? No, that's not how it works. You've got to take the word and tell the devil who's boss.
Amen.
I ain't telling you to go toot your own horn. You got to get the Holy Ghost. Because he'll speak out. And I begin to realize, and God forgive me, I'll just be honest with you. Many times we get away from that. We try to fight on our own and do this self-will act, and it never works. It never works. But if one time you can just think, the God of all creation came to me. I wasn't seeking him. He came after me. And I remember the day he filled my heart. He's still here now.
Amen.
And I don't have to do this, devil. I don't have to give in to this lust. I don't have to give in to this anger. I don't have to give in to this temptation, this laziness, whatever it is.
Right.
I don't have to give in to this.
Right.
And you begin to fight, not out of your own might, but out of his might.
Amen.
Out of the Holy Spirit. And I realize if you'll just do that, he is always defeated.
Amen.
You say, well, he just keeps giving me thoughts. No, the Bible said, think on these things, whatsoever pure, whatsoever lovely, whatsoever. You take that word and apply it. And if you start doing it, fight. We're just too lazy.
Amen.
We've sucked down this Laodicean garbage that we don't have to fight no more. It's just going to be a nice, toasty, rosy, peachy kind of experience. No, you signed up for a war.
Amen.
And as a general in God's army, God, I don't even feel worthy of that title at all, but you understand what I'm saying? As a witness of the resurrection, I tell you, it's time to fight more than ever before.
Amen.
You can't be lazy on the job. This battle does not stop. Until resurrection morning.
Yes.
You say, even when I lay down to sleep? Yes, sir. He's right there.
Yes.
Amen.
Are you just talking with you, right? He's right there. He'll get an argument started out of anything.
Right.
You're on the job. Somebody says that one thing. You are in a battle right now. Don't let the devil push you all around.
Right.
Now, the Bible told us plenty to expect when we start serving the Lord. So let's just turn to a few of these. If you got your Bible, go quick, because I'm gonna go quick, because I got a lot. I don't want to be here all day. 2 Timothy 3:10. I'll give you as much time as I take to turn there. How's that? Amen. Lord, help your people. 2 Timothy 3:10. This is Paul speaking again to Timothy. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium at Lystra. That sounds pretty familiar, didn't it? That's what he was talking about back in Acts 14 as well. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. We just want to be in a condition of deliverance and never have to, you know, fight anything off. You see, we just want to live in this. And in your soul, you are. That's right. The whole point. Right. Joshua didn't worry about it when he crossed the river. He says, we are more than able to wipe these giants out. Right. Now, he's still going to pull his sword. He's still going to tell you, you know what? Quit reasoning. We're not grasshoppers. We're the children of God.
Amen.
Let's go wipe them out, boys. Right. And that, right. And that little bit of effort, look, most times, God will just go out there and kill them anyway. He just wanted to see if they got any gall behind them.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he's waiting on you to get a victory in your life. For you to stop cowering down and say, well, I guess I can't do this. I can't defeat the devil here. He's just too strong. I guess the Holy Ghost can't win this time. No, that's not the attitude to have. Right. He wants you to take the right attitude to say what the Word said. That this affliction is not a chance. It's not this trial, this persecution didn't just happen haphazardly. God purposely allowed it to happen so I could overcome.
Amen.
That's right. See, we like that. We like the first part that, you know, he had a purpose and charity and patience. We're like, oh, praise God, that's good. And then the next thing, persecutions and afflictions. You want one, you got to take the other. You got to recognize that the world ain't going to love you.
Right.
They're not. And if they did, you're in trouble.
Amen.
That's what Jesus said. Right. He said the world loves its own. That's why they'll hate you, because you're not of this world.
Right.
That's right. Let me keep reading there. Verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. What do you expect when you come to the message of the hour? What do you expect when you really get the Holy Ghost? When you're really on the front line? What do you expect to happen?
Come on.
Well, if I just read what the Bible has, you only can live godly when you're in Christ Jesus. That's the same as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's no difference. And when I'm in Him, I should know. Persecutions must come.
Amen.
Absolutely. Matthew 10. Let's have Jesus take it up another notch. Matthew 10:24. The disciple is not above. Excuse me, let me find it. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master. Can we stop there for a minute? To be equal with God? Not above him, but equal. That's right. And the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Well, I thought if I was really living a good life, everybody would say, oh, we just love Brother Joe. Or they won't call you brother, but we just love, you know, Joe Smith over here. He's just one of a kind. He's just such a good guy. That ain't what happens now.
Right.
Now, you better have a life without reproach, or you're just bringing shame on Christ anyhow.
Right.
But and that'll give witness itself, but don't you think the world's going to recognize that?
Right.
The world hates Christ.
Right.
They hate it. Amen. Why? We already read that before. Because he reproves them. He tells them they're wrong. He tells them they're living in darkness, and men have loved darkness more than light. That's why anybody goes to hell. It ain't because God's sending you there. It's because you love the devil more than you love God.
That's right.
Amen.
I'm going to give you a few more expectations. So first, they're going to call you names. Get over it.
Right.
If there's anything I'm trying to say at the beginning here, is they're coming. The devil's coming. He's going to fight. He's going to call you names. He's going to try to push you around.
Yeah.
You have to expect that.
Amen.
How often, Brother Andrew? All the time.
Amen.
Especially now.
Amen.
John 16, a few books after that. Let's take it up one more. How's that sound? First, they're going to call you names, and we think, oh, I can't handle that. Well, you better get ready for this one, man.
Yeah.
St. John 16. Told you, there's no man can do this. You got to have God. You ain't going to be able to fight this battle.
Right.
You need God in you. Then it's easy. What can beat God? What can destroy the Almighty? Nothing. That's right. That's why we're so dependent on Him. John 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. God help us. Yeah. That when trials come, we don't get all offended. Mm-hmm. Most time, you'll get offended at God.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Why'd you let me go through that way? I thought you loved me. Why did you let this happen? Right. Why? Right. Getting offended.
Right.
He said He loved you. He loved you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Remember what His love is? It's not even His manifestation that really... His love is elected.
Yeah.
He just picked you just because.
That's
it. He doesn't have to heal me one more time. I still know He loves me because
Amen.
He picked me.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. They should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Look at that, church. That's right. Yea, the time cometh. You thought that was bad. That whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service.
Yeah.
So obviously this isn't the atheist coming to kill you. This ain't the communists coming to kill you. This is the church
right.
coming to kill you. Thinking they're doing God a service. And you don't have to necessarily kill a man physically to kill him.
Right.
You just have to kill his reputation.
Yes.
Well, what did he say before this? Don't get offended.
Right.
Don't get offended. Say, Brother Andrew, have you? Oh, I've been there. I'm telling you right now, you try to go. I told you, the number one thing I think God convicts me of is me trying to stand up for myself when I know I'm right.
Yeah.
It's not about me standing up. It's about Him standing up for the Word. All things will come. They'll come to manifestation. What was wrong, what was right. I ain't worried about that. That's where we don't need to worry about judging just yet, because we'll do it on Judgment Day.
Right.
It'll take care of itself. Right now we're here to judge the devil's spirits and God's spirit.
Right.
That's right. When you judge the devil's influence, it's not time to say, oh, God, why did you let this devil come after me? It's time to say, devil, get out of here.
Amen. Amen.
More than a conqueror through Christ. Get out of my house. Get out of my mind. Get out of my life.
Amen.
And then you'll wake up tomorrow and think, oh, I finally did it. No, He's going to show up again.
Yes. Right.
We just get lazy and get cowardly. And I think everyone could probably say that usually when you're tired is when you get spiritually lazy. And
right.
that's where the devil sneaks in all kinds of trash in your life.
Sure.
And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me.
Amen.
And we go back to the Dark Ages. We go back to Irenaeus and all these great men that gave their lives for the gospel. And we think, oh my, how glorious it was for them to go down. You know what the church called them? Heretics.
Yeah.
Devil-possessed people.
Yeah.
That's right.
The whole kingdom was calling these. They didn't go down in a blaze of glory. It looked like shame.
That's right.
It happened to Paul. How'd he die?
Sure.
He's a prisoner.
Right.
And they brought him out under capital punishment and cut his head off.
That's right.
What a glorious ending to a man of God. What's your expectation? Jesus Christ Himself. It wasn't some glorious day. Why do you think you can't find nothing about what happened that day? Nobody knew who that was.
That's right.
It was too late.
Yes.
By the time even the man, remember, he died and Christ died on there, and the one centurion, I believe, or one of the soldiers standing there said, truly, this is the Son of God.
Right.
It was too late.
Right.
He had been sealed out. There was a day when Noah, when they got in the ark and it began to rain, that's when they realized, huh,
yeah.
we really should have listened to Brother Noah.
Right.
It's too late.
Right.
It will happen in this day the same. What's
right.
your expectation? What do you expect when you hear this message come? You expect droves to come in and believe it? They won't.
No.
They can't. There's nothing in them to believe it. Let me show you that. 2 Timothy. I told you got a lot of scriptures. That's why I was trying to move. 2 Timothy 2. Timothy 2. Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to thou to faithful men shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What's your expectation? What did you expect when you begin to believe this? That's right. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. It means you've got to follow the word. You've got to say what the commander says. A lot of people fight for Christ in their own way.
Right.
And it's not accepted.
Right.
It'd just be as much as you in an army and the general says, go attack this way. You say, no, we're going to go attack that way. You might whip out some of the enemies. It doesn't matter.
Right.
That's not what the commander told you to do.
Right.
It's the same as you parents. You tell your children, go clean your room, and they go paint the barn. That's not what you asked them to do. It might have been a good thing, but it's not what you asked, so it doesn't mean anything anymore.
Right.
That's
Amen.
Right. That's why it's so important for us as Christians to follow this word with all our hearts.
Yes.
Go to chapter 4 now. Just to let you know, that wasn't the scripture I meant to read. I guess God knew what to say right here, didn't
Amen.
He?
Right.
So for 2 Timothy 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove. We just want to encourage, don't we? Sorry, that's not what the gospel always sent to do. It's to reprove the world of the darkness. Because until you get people to realize that they're in sin, until you get people to realize that they need a Savior, they'll never try it.
Amen.
Until a doctor, you just take it right there to the hospital. If he can't convince you that you're sick, you taking that medicine?
Nope.
You won't touch it.
Right.
But if he can get you convinced that you're sick and you need help, you say, doc, and you don't have a clue what he's talking about, you got to take his word for it, don't you?
Yeah, right.
And you think you got this life figured out? No. I don't know how to overcome sin, but I know someone that does.
Amen.
And he lives in me. And I'm just going to let him go ahead and do it. I'm just going to take his prescription and swallow it down and know that it will work because I trust him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove. Rebuke. Exhorts with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come. Hadn't come yet, but it's here now.
Yes.
The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. But watch thou in all things. So yes, this is the expectation of what to happen. But now he's telling the Christian, here's what you do with it.
Yeah.
Endure afflictions.
Yes.
Well, they did this wrong and they did that wrong and that deacon did this and this brother said this about me. Endure in afflictions.
Amen.
Oh, it's easy, man. Oh, somebody in the world makes fun of you for being a Christian. You go ahead and pat yourself on the back a little bit, right? You kind of feel good about it. Praise the Lord, you know. And I'm not saying that's all wrong. It's what the disciples did when they got persecuted and beaten and everything. They were rejoicing, having a good time. But when the Christian, so-called, says something about you, whoo, that changes things, doesn't it?
Right.
That ain't supposed to if you're a good soldier.
Amen.
Soldier doesn't matter who's attacking. He's going to do what his orders were told if he's a good soldier.
Right. Amen.
That's right. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction. Do the work of out of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. How do you prove that what we have is right? Is in the midst of trials. And if you want a testimony that lives, let people treat you like dirt. You stand a Christian.
Amen.
Let them make fun of you. Let them tell you're stupid and you do everything wrong and you're an idiot for believing that. Let them spit in your face and throw things. And you just pray for them. That's where rubber meets the road. And if you can't do that, you haven't met Christ yet.
Amen.
Because a man, he can't help it. A man's got to fight for his own. He's because in that, if you leave God out of your life, you become an animal.
Yeah.
And an animal fights to live.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what it takes. You know, we're afraid of animals. The only reason an animal ever attack you is because he's starving to death.
Yeah.
But he will if he is. Why? His instinct is to live. I've got to live. It doesn't matter what consequences come around. I'm going to live. And that's what will happen if you leave Christ, except it's not life that's trying to be given to you. It's a false life through Satan's deception.
Yes.
He'll get you to keep trying to feed on it and feed on it. Whatever it is that he gets you with. We all know that thing, don't you?
Yeah.
Don't kid yourself. You know he knows your weakness.
Yes.
We're not ignorant of his devices. We know exactly what he does. The problem is we just let him do it.
Right.
Oh, he's just a big old devil, and I'm just a little bitty Christian. Just can't do nothing about it. That ain't a good soldier just yet, is he? I ain't trying to beat you all up. I'm trying to just start looking down more times because I'm getting ashamed. But because I believe you're soldiers, but I just want us to make sure we understand what's the expectation we're to have. This is not a peachy kind of rosy place to be living right now. This is Laodicea.
Yeah.
This is where things are falling apart, where people are poor, wretched, blind, naked, and don't even know it.
Right.
We live. You want to hear what the prophet said about this age?
Yeah.
Here's what he said about it. Now listen closely, please. It says, God said this church of the Laodicean age is wretched. That word comes from two Greek words, which means to endure in trial. And it has nothing to do with the trials that come to a true Christian, for God describes a Christian in trial as blessed.
Yes.
Can you accept that and say, amen?
Yes.
That's right. And his attitude, one of joy, whereas this description is phrased as wretched and miserable. How strange. Listen closely. In this age of plenty, in this age of progress, in this age of abundance, how can there be trials? Well, now, it is strange, but in this age of plenty and opportunity, where everyone has so much and there's so much more to be had, what with all the inventions to do our work and so many things to give us pleasure, suddenly we find mental illness taking such a toll as to alarm the nation. When everybody ought to be happy with really nothing to be unhappy about.
Yes.
Amen.
How many's breathing?
Amen.
How many's got two legs? You still are. How many's got a house to go home to? How many's not afraid to miss your meal tomorrow? How many's got you? We really have nothing to be unhappy about.
Right.
What's the problem? Let me keep reading. When everybody ought to be happy with really nothing to be unhappy about, millions are taking sedatives sedatives at night, pet pills in the morning, rushing to the doctor, entering institutions and trying to drown out unknown fears by alcohol. Yes, this age boasts of its tremendous stores of worldly goods, but the people are less happy than ever. This age boasts of its spiritual attainments, but the people are less sure of themselves than ever. See, that's where you know you've missed the mark. Because if you're really doing something that's spiritual, it gives the Christian assurance of who he is.
That's right.
And too many times we'll have a great meeting and things, and it just seems to fade away. Are you really being spiritual, or was it just a good time? My, if we're just going to get excited and feel emotional, you can go to a football game and get back. I'm talking about a reality.
Amen.
I'm talking about the Spirit of God coming here and molding my heart and tearing out evil.
Amen.
To where I know I'm a Christian. Amen. That when I stand, let's just go ahead to our other expectation. What do I expect as a Christian?
Yeah.
Mark 16, these signs follow them that believe.
Amen.
You mean in the midst of this affliction, of this terrible world, narcotics and alcoholism, and everybody trying to drown out fears, I can still stand strong and believe that these signs will follow me?
Amen.
Yes!
Amen. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
In Christ's name, I cast out devils!
Amen.
I laid my hands on the sick, they will recover.
Yes.
I still can speak in tongues.
Amen.
If I take any deadly thing, everybody, it can't harm me.
Right.
It can't harm me. And I ain't afraid to say that because that's what the word says. Now, I ain't going to go grab a bottle of arsenic and chug it down. But I told many students that. They said, well, what if we put something in your coffee when you ain't looking? I said, it won't do nothing to me.
Right.
Why? The word's my absolute.
Yes.
That's what I expect is the word to take place.
Yes.
And I'm just quoting some of these. You can find it. It's Mark 16. John 14, we all know this. Believe me that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. How many believes on the Son of God?
Amen.
Are you afraid to admit it? Or can you raise your hand and say, that's me.
Yes.
I believe.
Yes.
There ain't nobody else going to do it. I'll do it.
Yes.
I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also.
Amen.
And greater works than these shall he do. Because I go to the Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
Amen.
What do you expect,
Amen, Christian?
What do you expect? What did you expect when you became a believer? Take the whole package, isn't that right? Afflictions, they're coming. Rejection, it's coming. Making fun, calling your names, wanting to kill your reputation, that's all gonna come.
Right.
But in the midst of that, greater is He that lives in me. These signs will still follow me. I don't have to prove it. God will prove this if I let Him.
Amen.
That's what He was telling Timothy. Go make full proof of your ministry. How? Stand just as Christ did. That when they attacked Him, when they reviled Him, He didn't revile back, but He stood on the Word.
Amen.
He says, you have no power over me.
Right.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's right. Right in the King's face of that area anyhow.
Right.
Pilate, He said, you have no power over me.
Yeah.
Except that we're giving you up above. Mm-hmm. I believe He meant that. Yeah. I believe He could have, and when He said it, I could call legions of angels right now and wipe everyone out here.
Right.
Why are you fighting with your little sword? That's where we go wrong. We think, oh, I got this in my hand, something tangible. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. Oh, I can pray this long and then I get victory. See, you can't do that stuff.
Right.
It's Jesus Christ is in me. That's why I've got victory.
Yes.
Amen.
That'll lead you into a prayer life.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Because you realize, why am I wasting my time doing anything else?
Right.
Than spending time with God. It'll get you to feed on the Word because it gets hungry.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
But you know what happens to a starving man after a while? He forgets he's hungry in the first place.
Right.
Yeah. Too many Christians got to that point. You say, well, I don't read my Bible too often. You're at that point because you're starving.
Yes.
There's no getting around it.
Right.
I forget what prophet it was, but he said, the Word of God is more to him than his natural meat. Isn't that right? Because
yes.
You starve to death without this.
Mm-hmm. Right. Amen.
John 15:16 says this. Let me just read real quick. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you.
Why?
He didn't just say He foreknew it. He ordained it. Which means He purposely framed this to work this way.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit may remain, should remain.
Yes.
That whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He may give it you. When we read there in Jude, what was the first thing? He said, those that are in Christ, those that are preserved, those that are saved. What's He trying to get them to realize? First, you're saved. You're in. You're in the kingdom of God. You've crossed Jordan if you're this group that He's talking to. Now get your expectations right.
Amen.
It's time to contend for the faith.
Amen.
Well, if I was over here, shouldn't this just be me and God? It is, if you'll let Him.
Yes.
That's right.
Let the light shine that the darkness will leave.
Yes.
You see it now. Amen. Let me read right here inside of the paradox. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes.
A paradox is something that's true, but you can't explain it.
Right.
There's no reason it should be true, but it's true nonetheless. That's exactly what I'm getting at today.
Amen.
It's an absolute paradox. Samson, I'm reading now. It was a paradox how you could kill a lion barehanded. A little curly-headed shrimp separated from... He was a Nazarite, separated by the Word of God. He was a Nazarite. And so he separated himself for the Word. And he didn't have shoulders the size of that door there. Any man with shoulders like that could kill a lion. That wouldn't be no mystery. If he was that size, or science, or theologians today, and artists wanted to draw his picture. See, their expectation.
Yeah.
That wasn't what the Word said. This guy wasn't nobody to be feared at all. That's why you think of 1,000 men. Go back there for a minute. How many knows that Samson killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey? Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
What stopped the 999 when they saw the first guy die? Why didn't they run away?
Right.
Yeah.
They just couldn't believe.
Right.
They thought, oh, that, you know, John Smith over there, he wasn't doing his best that time. You know, I can whip this guy. There's nothing to him.
Sure.
Yeah.
And we think if the bride's revival is really going on, oh, everybody will notice it. Right.
Right.
It's never happened that way.
Never.
The masses won't see it.
Right.
The churches won't see it. Individuals will see it.
Amen.
They'll be it. They'll manifest it.
Amen.
That's right. You never get the prophet ever saying that there's just going to be this big group that's going to just have it and they're all going to go together. He said it's individuals that comprise that group that have come in contact one-on-one with God, and they've had this experience so they know what to expect. We've been given plenty of orders. I'll tell you that right now. There's no doubt in my mind what's going on all over this whole world right now. It all is fitting perfectly with what the prophet said 50 years ago and what the Bible told us thousands of years ago.
Right.
That's right. There's nothing catching us off guard if we'll just take it and believe it. We need to change that. There's something wrong on that. But let me keep that. He says he was just a little bitty guy, see? And he totally unable to do it. But when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, then he could do it. We might stand alone. We might stand one or two, whatever it is. When the Spirit of the Lord is trying to confirm a word that he has promised and told you to do it, it'll happen.
Amen.
It'll be a paradox again, certainly. Amen. I'm trying to wrap this up. Let me give you one more here. Paradox 64. Why did the Indians lose this country to the white people? Is because they were divided amongst themselves. How many knows what the Bible said the church would be? It said it'd be the prophet said it'd be an invincible army. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
The Bible said there'd be a church without spot or wrinkle.
Right.
It's Ephesians chapter 5. He says this. Why did they defeat the Indians? Because they were divided against one another. How are we going to lose this great race? It's because we're divided. How are we going to do it? We've got to stay together. Now listen to me now. We're all believers in God. The Holy Ghost takes us all in. It'll be a paradox if God ever gets us together. But He will.
That's right.
Amen.
Certainly. How is He going to do it, brother? Just trust Him. So what am I trying to get across today? Our expectations need to be lined up with the Word of God.
Amen.
If we expect any success in Christ whatsoever.
Right.
If you go with what the masses teach, what even, in, God help me, but whatever's even mostly taught in this message itself.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's not what the prophet said many times. And it doesn't matter who he is. If he's not reflecting the light for this age, there will be no light to walk in.
Right.
Amen.
It's a strong statement, but it's the truth nonetheless. This is all that's left.
Yes.
But it's more than enough.
Amen.
Sure.
We painted up real doom and gloom what this world is, and there's nothing farced about that. That's absolutely the truth. This world has lost its mind.
Yes.
People are swayed by what they see on the news more than they ever will be by the Bible.
Right.
More than they are when God shows up and does the miraculous right in front of them, they'll still go watch CNN and believe what those bunch of liars that want their money are telling them.
Right.
Sure.
Why? Now, there's one more scripture, but There'll be perilous times in the last days. I'm going to finish on that. Let's go there and I'll close it right here. I think I remember where that's at. Let me find it. Sure. 2 Timothy 2. Yeah, it's 3. You're right. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll finish on here. Enjoying the word today.
Amen.
It just depends on what side of the fence you're on, I guess. Huh? Hope you read the Word of God that way. I'm just going to interject that right now. The Word of God, even if you read, for instance, like Proverbs, you'll have almost every verse. You know, how to be blessed, how to be cursed.
Yeah.
How to be blessed, how to be cursed. How to be blessed, how to be cursed. If you always, whatever you apply is what you'll get.
Amen.
Yeah. If you always go down the negative, you just go ahead and inspect it. That's what you're going to get. But if you'll take the positive, how? By faith. That God, you're saying this, that I'm a righteous man because I'm in you. These things will happen in your life just the same.
Amen.
This know also, that in the last days, how many believe it's the last days?
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to say something. Joyous, wonderful, glorious times shall come. See how you get your expectations all messed up. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men, what's the problem?
Yeah.
What is everything that's going wrong in the world stem from? Right here. Men shall be lovers of their own selves.
Right.
Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. God help our children, isn't that right?
Yeah.
That's thrown right in there with covetous, boasters, and everything else. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. What's your expectation when you do right?
Yeah.
Perilous times will be here because whatever's good is called evil.
Yeah.
Whatever's evil is called good. Traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and leave captive silly women laden with sins, laid away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why is that? You don't learn this. You are it.
Amen.
Amen.
You aren't taught this out of a book. You're shown by the Almighty God,
right,
who gives you a revelation.
Yes.
It's never going to be, never, when you read the Word, God help us to not do this. You feed on it as a person. Mm-hmm. And you're having a conversation. He speaks to you. You speak back in your heart, oh, that's good, Lord. Amen. I believe that. That's how you read the Word of God.
Amen.
To get somewhere with it.
Yes.
That's how you read the message of the hour to get somewhere with it.
Yes.
Somewhere. That's how you pray to God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Not a form of godliness. What's a form of godliness? Well, I'm going to do this because that's what Christians do, right? Some sisters believe to come to the message, well, I'm going to let my hair grow. I'm going to wear a skirt. I'm going to do this because that's just a form of godliness if nothing ever happened on the inside.
Right.
And it's not accepted. Same with the man. Well, I'm going to clean up. I'm not going to tell those jokes. I'm not going to drink and smoke and do these things. I'm going to try to clean up and look nice. That's a form of godliness. That's not what God wants. He wants your heart first. And once your heart's right, oh yeah, He'll give you plenty of power to whip all that stuff out of your life.
Yes.
That's right. And what you thought was a big mountain, you'll find out just a little bitty thing in the power of God. He can just swat that thing right out of your life.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. For of this sort are they which are creep in the houses, led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, our expectation, the man of God, the proven prophet of God, 10 signs shown, and they're still resisting it.
Right.
Absolutely. We think it's a strange thing they do it to the message. What's wrong with us?
Right.
We believe some devil's lie somewhere.
Yeah.
This is the expectation. So do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. Oh, I love that promise, isn't that right? There came a day where Jannes and Jambres weren't on the scene no more, but Moses was still standing.
Amen.
That's right. They shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life. We've read this, but I want to get there one more time. Purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Praise His name. What do you expect today? You because He lives. Let me finish that quote. Yes, this age boasts of its tremendous stores of worldly goods, but the people are less happy than ever. This age boasts of its spiritual attainments, but the people are less sure of themselves than ever. This age boasts of better moral values and is more corrupt than any age since the flood. Talks about its knowledge and science, but it is fighting a losing battle in all fields. For the human mind and soul and spirit cannot comprehend or keep abreast with all the changes that have come upon the earth. In one generation, we've gone all the way from the horse and buggy age to the space age, and we're proud and boastful about it. But inside is a dark void cavern that is crying out in torment, and without a known reason, men's hearts are failing for freedom. And the world is so darkened that this age could well be called the age of neurotics. It boasts, but it cannot back it up. It cries peace, and there is no peace. It cries that it has a great amplitude of all things, but it keeps burning with desire like an unsatisfied fire. There is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. Let's bow our heads together. Now that's the condition of this world. But a man that's in Christ lives satisfied. No, I can't do this. This is between you and him. Your mother came along there with you. Your brother, your sister, your son. As you bow our heads, would there be anyone here that would say, Lord, that's me. I've resisted that place. I know in my heart I need to be in there. But for some reason, I can't seem to break through this wall. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. Hallelujah. God bless you, sis. God bless you, brother. Stuck in Laodicea and I can't seem to find a way out. I've got a void in my heart. I can't find peace. The King of Peace is here. His name is Jesus Christ. I feel a spirit begin to anoint. This is the time where you die and he lives. That's your expectation when you come to Christ. It isn't roses and peaches, it's a funeral. But it's the greatest decision you'll ever make. You take your old 40-rotten life and let it be buried. And let Christ resurrect you what you ought to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can't change yourself, but you can sure ask him. And he's more than faithful. Two years I struggled to give my whole heart to the Lord. Just one thing in my heart I didn't want to give up. And God's not fooled. He's not wrong. He knows what's in there. He knew I was lying. And I try to fight the devil. Because I believe down in there is predestinated seed that wants to serve God. And it could never come out because I wouldn't let it. I had my ambition, my flesh's desire, and I wanted to hold on to that, but one day, that thing died. And as fast as I let it go, as fast as Christ came, that's what it takes. That's it. There's no more to it than that. It takes a total death to your own self, to your own ideas. You say, well, I feel this way, I think this way. That all needs to die. It needs to be because God said so. That's what I mean. God bless each one. God knows your hearts. Now you talk to him. Let it have nothing to do with anyone else. This is you and him right now. My, how we plead if we were in a court. And the sentence came across and spent life in jail. Oh my, how we cry out and say, oh, isn't there someone to help me? But for some reason our soul gets so darkened when we have a spiritual need. We just say, well, Jesus, help me, please. There's no desperation anymore. Shake that old rotten devil off. We're at the end time. It's time to get in there and get what we need. It's all ours. It's not. We're not fighting. We're not stealing from God. God has given us these things freely. He's given us joy. He's given us peace. He's given us salvation. It takes your faith to receive it. God bless each one. God give you the desire of your heart. Is there anyone here in Lethbridge and he said, Lord, I need the Holy Ghost. I've tried to fight the enemy. I've tried to do it myself and it just doesn't work. Oh God, I need your spirit to fill me, Lord, in my soul. That when the enemy comes, I expect him to come, but greater is going to be he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm not going to put up with the devil because God told me not to. God bless you. God bless you. Now receive it in the name of Jesus Christ right here, right now, in the simplicity of his word. 5 minutes in the real presence of God is more than 50 years outside of that. Oh, praise Jesus. It's time to have that confidence. When you ask God for something, our expectation is he will give it to you. Because you're not asking. There's nobody here is asking for a Corvette or a mansion. You're asking for spiritual things, and the God of heaven knows that. As you feel that burden begin to leave, start praising. Start worshiping. Say, thank you, Lord. Mean it with all that sin. Thank you, Lord. I know from now on there's something different going to be here. I'm not going to have to do this alone. But God that's in me is going to go with me. Because he promised he would. He's sealed in. He can't get out. He doesn't want out. He wants to be with me to the end of the world. Oh, God, help the children. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Begin to rise in victory. Begin to say that word. Begin to proclaim it. Sometimes I think we stop short just because we're afraid to say hallelujah when we think we ain't going to get it no more. Who's telling you you're going to leave the same? That you're just going through emotion? That's the devil. Not just one. That's legions of them. Gets you to think, well, you've done this 100 times before. What's the difference this time? You mean it this time. You cross over, Jordan. You cross over that decision line and watch the flood roll back in. You can't even go back anymore. You will have no desire to. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Jesus. I feel to just let him have his way. I proclaim his word. Now it's up to God for you to listen to his voice and receive it. Offer yourself before him. Don't come back any pride. I mean, it's pride won't get anything to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. fresh Christianity undeserved.
Hey,
hold on, hey.
I hold
clap praise and worship. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, all your heart.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Just an unreserved, Lord.
Thank you.
Pray your expectation might have been helped a little bit today. It helped me just studying this. Just thinking about it the other day, and it's like, Lord, that's exactly right. I tend to look for the wrong thing many times. What's the bride's revival going to look like? Jesus walking and talking and living in the heart of every believer there is. Signs will follow. They do follow.
Amen.
Now, don't let me put that off. Act like it's going to happen 10 years from now. It's happening right now.
Amen.
All those that came forward, you get what you asked of today. Amen. You've got to say it. Amen. I got it. Why? God said so. He said if we lay hands on the sick, or if you accept the two of you agreeing on any one thing, he'll do it.
That's right.
If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it.
That's right.
Now, don't back down, soldier.
Amen. Right.
Keep
Amen.
The guns up. Boxing match just started for some of us. It just started. You know what, devil? You bet me in the corner long enough. I'm coming out swinging now.
Amen.
Don't you lay back. You just keep throwing it at him.
Amen.
Say, you think that way. No, I'm going to think good about that person.
Amen.
You get mad at that. No, I'm going to be happy anyways. You just go ahead and keep punching. Why? Jesus said I could.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Well, I won't keep you all too long, I guess. Been good to be in the house of the Lord,
hasn't
it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing No Turning Back. How does that sound?
Amen.
No, I got no desire to go back no more. Let's press on forward. So let's sing that. If you don't know it, 193. I'll let Dad lead you in some songs, the key of C. Yeah. You can be dismissed on this, or you can stay in worship as long as you want. God bless you, saints.
I have decided.